Merkle Media.
Heyo, everybody, and welcome to Back It Up Fridays with Hammerlane Legends. I am your host with the most, Jack Merkle, and I'm here to deliver you the goods on a Friday. Hope you guys have had a good week and are ready for the weekend. And just, you know, if you're in the New York area, if you're getting snowed in right now, God bless you, man. I hope you guys are able to, you know, keep the heat on and get the snow out of the way when you need to, because I watched some videos and holy crap, that's pretty freaking crazy up there. If you haven't seen or watched any of the videos, there's like close to at least 2 to 3 feet up there right now, maybe more. Because when I was watching some of the videos, I mean, it was just coming down and it didn't look like it was stopping. But it's crazy. It's crazy. I don't know. I mean, we've had snows here that were maybe like 35, 36 inches. This is going to be probably at least that, if not a lot more, dumped in a shorter amount of time. So good luck up there if you guys are in need of warmth. Hopefully you're able to find something. You know, look on Facebook and see if you can find some communities. If there's anybody who, you know, loses power, see if you can find somebody with kerosene or something like that. But anyway, apart from the crazy lake effect weather up there in Buffalo and New York, I hope you guys have been doing all right all around the world and in America and wherever you're at. But yeah, we have a good one for you guys this week. Episode 26, Trucking Across America with a Toddler. This was way back. I love these old ones. These old ones are just hilarious because it's, back when this show first started in its infancy or its toddler stage, if you want to go that direction. But anyway, this is a good show. It's really interesting to hear the perspective of someone who is traveling and working with their kid being with them, and just the complexities of that sort of dynamic and what all that entails, the stresses, the pressures, and even just what it's like to have to go ahead and take care of a kid while you're on the road, which seems to be the common theme with a lot of parents. If you have to take care of your kids on the road, it's tough. But this is a great episode to be able to kind of get that understanding of what it was like. Now we're going to go ahead and get into the show. If you guys didn't like the show yet, if you didn't subscribe, if you aren't giving us a 5-star rating and review, I don't know what you're doing. Don't know what you're doing with your life. I can't tell, because if it's not a 5-star rating and review, if it's not liked and subscribed and shared, I don't know what's going on. I mean, you know, just go ahead and give us that little 5-star. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed this flashback, this back it up, this rolling on down the road back to 2000, and I think this is 2020, if I'm not mistaken, is it 2020? Yeah, wow, August of 2020, guys. It's just crazy to think that we're cruising along this far. So thanks again for listening. Thank you so much for being an audience for, well, since 2020. And we hope you guys have a great weekend. So enjoy the show. Peace out.
Put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed this plane was really low. It went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Joe
choked on myself.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Tony Merkel.
And I'm Brian Merkel.
And we're really glad that you're here. If you have a crazy and wild experience from the road that you want to share with us on the show, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. That's hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. And why don't you give it a shot? Call our break room hotline, 515-585-MERK, M-E-R-K, or 6375. So 515-585-6375, and you can give us a shout out. You can tell us something crazy that just happened in front of you on the road. Whatever you want to talk to us about, leave us a voicemail. You get 15 minutes, and we're really excited to hear from you. Now, Dad, before we get into this week's show, I want to let everybody know what happened a few weeks ago that I forgot to mention on the show.
All right. We're all ears.
Yeah.
Go for it.
I was driving through hell. That's pretty much what it was. It was a tropical storm. And I didn't think too much of it when I went to work that day. So I put out an episode for my other show. And in that intro, I said, I'll be driving around in a tropical storm today while you guys are enjoying yourselves listening to this show. And I didn't really think about, I'm going to be driving around in a tropical storm. And I was getting ready for work in the morning, and I had some shorts. And I was like, I'll put some jeans on because it's going to get rainy today. Rainy. Mm-hmm. And I can't find my raincoat. And I was like, I'll be fine. It's just rain. It wasn't just rain. It was like God was taking a bucket and dumping it on everybody.
You're looking for an ark to come floating down the road. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. It was so bad. I was going into work and the rain was coming down sideways. I was like, I think I might have misjudged my day.
Wow.
And I get to work, and pretty much by the time I got done hooking up to my trailer and making sure everything's good and getting ready to pull out of the terminal, I was pretty wet.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is going to be one of those days. So I get to my first stop, which is right next door to the terminal. And I get back into the door. I'm wet just from, you know, having to look out the window and stuff like that, putting my window down. And I go inside and I open the garage door, and the garage door padding, it's all messed up. And it was like a waterfall just falling down over the garage door.
Wow.
And I looked at the guy, and he just stands there looking at it with his mouth kind of open, almost like you would expect him to start drooling out of his mouth, you know, just that dumb stare like, you know. And I looked at him and I said, man, I'm already wet. I'll do it. And I leaned over into the waterfall to open my door, unlock it, open it up, put the dock plate down. And he's like, I guess I'll just drive through it. I'm like, well, dude, listen, I'm already drenched, so get your forklift and figure it out, you know? He unloads me. I get back out to my truck, and now I'm literally, like, you can wring my clothing out wet.
Wow.
And I go to my next stop, and I go down this road, and I'm approaching my next delivery, which is less than a mile. All this stuff I'm about to tell you happened, like, within a mile of the terminal. So I go down the road, and you go over a creek, and the water's starting to get a little high. You know, like, I don't even think it was that high. Like, it might have been going over the road a little bit, but not much at all.
Mm-hmm.
I go over this creek, and I get to my next delivery. And when I pull in, the way it's set up is they have these docks and all these empty trailers backed into the docks, and you got to squeeze between a hill and the trailers that are backed into the docks. I mean, it's really tight. And there's already a truck coming down towards me, and he was going through water that was almost covering his tires. And I was like, oh, that's deep. That's real deep.
Wow. Yeah.
And so I took video of it. I sent it to my wife and I said, I'm about to drive through this. Giddy up, you know? I mean, listen, as much as it sucks, you know, you don't want to drive around wet all day and stuff. I mean, I enjoy this kind of stuff. Like, I just do. Like, this kind of driving in the tropical storms, the hurricanes, the blizzards, it sucks, but I know at the end of the day, I'm going to have a story to tell, and that's what I kind of enjoy about it.
Right.
And so I go through the water, and it was fun, and, you know, nothing eventful. But I back into this dock, and we unload, and about 10, 15 minutes later, I pull out. I go through that water again. I get to dry ground, and I pulled over to call my dispatch because I had some damaged freight. I had to tell him that, you know, I was bringing some freight back. And I talked to him on the phone. I go to pull out, and this pickup truck comes down from where I came getting to this place. And he cuts me off and he rolls his window down. And he's like, you can't go down that way. It's flooded. They taped it off. And I said, well, how am I going to get out of here? And he's like, you got to go down this way. And he points down the opposite way of the road. And I said, dude, I can't go down there in the trailer. That goes downtown Phoenixville. Like, trailers can't fit down there. I got to go this way. He's like, no, you can't go that way. I said, I got to go that way. And so I just put my window up and I went that up that way. And I saw what he's talking about. That creek turned into a river really fast. I mean, flash flooding, it was rushing water.
Wow.
And so on the other side of the river was yellow tape. And on the other side of that yellow tape was a tractor trailer facing me. And he's looking at it and he starts backing up. He's like, I'm not even going to try it. And so I called dispatch. I'm like, listen, this is the situation. I got in here. And since then, it flooded. And I got to get out of here. And so I'm just letting you know, I'm going to drive through this. And I'm just telling you what I'm about to do before I do it, because I don't know what's going to happen. You know? Right. So I just go for it. And he said, all right, just, you know, be safe. Okay, I'll be as safe as I can.
You know? Safe. Yeah, I'm going to be safe in the flood.
Yeah. And so I start driving through it, and the water's really hitting the truck. I mean, I could feel it. I mean, it wasn't like pulling me away, but you could feel it like kind of tugging. And I get to the tape. Now, mind you, they taped it off, but I didn't want to push through the tape because then, you know, other people don't
realize they shouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I just didn't want to be that guy that could have contributed to somebody else dying.
Sure.
And so I get out of my truck to take the tape down. Problem is, and I know you're shaking your head, so you know it's happening. Yeah. I'm in the water.
Yeah.
Like I'm in the river. And so I'm thinking to myself, I'm already sopping wet from this day. Sopping wet. What's a little bit more?
So a little bit more.
I hop out of the truck and this water is like up around my knees.
Wow.
Easily. And it's just rushing water. And I get out and I get to the yellow tape. I unhook it from this mailbox, drag it across the road, pull my trailer through, get back out to get the tape to put it back across. And as I get back out, there's this beautiful, beautiful red Mustang coming down the road.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, dude, stop, 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 stop. Just stop. And he keeps coming. And he comes up to me and he's a Russian guy. And I don't know if he didn't understand me very well, but I told him, I said, you can't go down this way. Like, it's flooded. Like, look at that. You cannot go through there. And he said, you don't think I can go through there? And I was like, no. I mean, mind you, I just came through there. I could feel the water pushing against my truck.
Right.
This Mustang? Uh-uh. And so he decides to try it. And he goes down to the water's edge. And I'm just standing there watching him because I'm thinking to myself, this guy's going to get swept away. And then I'm going to have to go do something about it, or because I don't want the guy dying.
Right.
You know, so I don't know what I'd do, but I'd figure it out. I don't know. But he goes down to the water and he decides, maybe not. And so I hook the tape up back across the road, and he's on the other side of the tape, but he could fit right underneath it because that's how low the car sat. And so I go to my next delivery, which is right down the road, and I pull in, and they had these grates in the parking lot, and they're like geysers. They're shooting like 4 to 5 feet of water into the air.
Wow.
I get out of the truck and I'm like, the world's ending. Like, that's it. I mean, I didn't even kiss my son goodbye, you know? Like, my wife and son were sleeping when I left the house, and I didn't get to say goodbye, you know? And I go inside, and I do this delivery, and I get back out to my truck, and I have a text message from my wife. And I had told her to go and check, keep an eye on the basement that day, because the studio that we're working in right now is in the basement. And so I just built this studio, what, 2-3 months ago.
Right, yeah.
Lots of new equipment in here. And I'm thinking to myself, just keep an eye on the studio. Now, our basement doesn't really flood typically.
Mm-hmm.
It flooded. It flooded. She texts me and she says this. This is what she said to me. The basement has more water than I've ever seen before. And the kitchen ceiling just let loose. And I was like, I mean, if I had hair, I would have pulled it out, you know?
Right.
I was like, you got to be kidding me. So I called dispatch. I said, this is what's going on. My wife's going to give birth next month. She can't be dealing with this on her own. I got to go home. Or no, I didn't even tell him I had to go home. I told him this and he's like, so what do you want to do? You want to go home? I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I want to go home. And he's like, bring it back. I could tell he was a little irritated by it. But the next day when I went into work, everybody didn't get stuff done that day. I mean, I know I brought a load back, but they had like 100 returns that day because just nobody was getting anything done, you know? And so I didn't feel as bad and they weren't as grumpy about it then. But I go home and I get down in the basement and there's water everywhere. And I don't know if you noticed when we came in here, there's that shop broom out in there, out there. That's the only thing I had to push water around. So I was just pushing water away from the studio.
From one spot to the other.
Yeah, I'm like trying to redirect it away from the studio into these drains that we have down here. And I was down here for a while and we finally got it under control. And so I decided, okay, let's go up to the kitchen, check that out. It wasn't as bad as she made it sound. I mean, the way she made it sound is like the whole roof caved in and we were just, you know, insurance company kind of thing, you know? But I climbed out on the roof to see if I could find out where this leak was coming from. And when I came out there, the rain and wind was just so brutal. And I'm standing on the roof. Lindsay's watching. Ben's standing on a stool at the window saying, "Daddy, you're out on the roof, Daddy." And I'm like, "Yeah, buddy, I'm out on the roof." And like the wind's hitting me hard. I felt a couple times like I was going to fall off the roof. Rain pelting me in my eyeballs. It hurt. So she gives me my work shirt and I kind of wrap it around my head and pull it out like an awning so that I could kind of look what I'm looking at without the rain hitting me directly in the eye. And then it maybe like an hour later, it just cleared up so fast. I mean, it was like the sun came out, birds were chirping, got hot out. It was just, it was a really nice day. And so I called Jack and Jack is my younger brother, your son.
Yeah.
And, he actually is also the producer of the show. So shout out to Jack. We record it and he produces the rest, but he came down because a lot of his customers canceled and he helped me with the roof and all that stuff. And then he goes up to the company offices where his company is. Mm-hmm. And he tells me that 2 feet of water in the basement,
yep,
lost their computers, equipment, everything, right? And so
I crazy.
Yeah. I was just like, man, when it rains, it pours. Yeah. Oh,
well, you know, when you first start this thing and you're like, you know, typically my basement doesn't flood. That's not a good way to start a story. You know, something's going to come apart now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so that was my Tuesday this past week and or no, 2 weeks ago. And, you know, it is what it is, but it was interesting anywhere from the truck driving aspect of it to dealing with it with the house. I don't want to go through it again though.
Yeah, I hear that. You know, funny thing is, you know, up where I'm at, I slept right through it because it happened all during the daytime and I was sleeping. I worked Monday night and Tuesday it was all heck broke loose and I slept right through it. I woke up and hey, you know, it was sunshine and rainbows.
didn't even know it was raining.
Had no idea, none at all. And then I asked your mom, "Is there any water in the basement?" "Oh, no, there's no water in the basement. Don't worry about it. I didn't see anything at all." I open up the basement door. There's 6 inches of water in the basement. Like, you couldn't see the light shine off of the water?
Yeah.
Which, thankfully, we have an old home. It's an unfinished basement.
Yeah.
It always gets water in every time it rains, so I don't worry about it. It's like it's going to drain out, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that house is coming up on 100 years old, isn't it?
It's over 100 years
old. Is it over 100?
Yeah, it was built in 1915.
Jeez, old house.
Yeah, so you don't worry.
You're not worried about
it. They used to build back then, they built things to last. So,
oh, yeah, for sure. Know. Yeah. Mentioned mom, and you did an awful impersonation of her voice. So
that's how it sounds in my head.
Oh, that's too much. That's too much.
Yeah, you know, tell her I said that.
No, she's going to hear it. But to give mom's voice justification, I think we should play the prank call that you and I did to her the other week.
we should. Yes.
Okay. Well, listen, everybody, after this interview, before the show's over, maybe between the outro and the song or after the song, sometime during the end of this episode, we'll play that prank phone call that we did to my mom so you can hear her voice. We recorded it. And it's fun.
It is.
If you don't know me, you don't know this, but anybody who knows me knows I really enjoy prank calling people. It's just something that like, if I don't have a whole lot of downtime, but if I have downtime and I'm just bored, I do that. Like I'll save phone numbers from people who are like telemarketers calling me. And when I have the downtime, I call them back and then I play games with them. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, I actually on my my other show, The Confessionals, the YouTube channel, people go check out the YouTube channel, The Confessionals. One of the videos on there, I actually shot video while I did it to one of these companies, and I made a whole video. I think it's like a 20-30 minute video of me prank dialing them until finally I call and it's like, your phone number has been blocked by this company. I'm like, finally.
So revenge is sweet.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a way to get these telemarketers to stop calling you, I highly suggest prank calling them.
In your
because,
free time.
Yeah, they'll block you, and then they don't call you anymore. So it's great. And it's also fun, too. So I enjoy it, at least. I'm 35 years old, but sometimes I act like I'm 12, you know? Yeah. So it is what it is. But yeah, that was my little truck driving wet sop story. I got more stories for you, but we'll save it for another time. Dad, when I get on my storytelling rampage again, remind me about the time that I broke the yoke on the truck. We'll tell that story.
I will remind you.
Yeah, it just happened a couple weeks ago. But anyways, who do we have coming up today, Dad?
Today, Tony, we're talking to Chelsea. She's a young driver. She's only been out for a few years, but she actually lives in her truck with her 3-year-old daughter. I mean, she's using that for her home. And it's just really interesting to talk to her and just listen to the lifestyle and listen to what she's doing.
Yeah, and you know, that's the thing. I mean, she lives in the truck with her 3-year-old. Yeah. And so she has a perspective of truck driving that most of the industry doesn't have, because most of the industry doesn't live with their kids and most of the industry isn't women. So she's a woman driving a truck, living with her 3-year-old kid. She has a whole fresh perspective of what it is to be driving truck.
Yes, she does.
And just so the audience knows, during this interview, you'll hear her child in the background talking and stuff. I mean, I guess it's kind of proof that she lives in the truck with her kid.
When you're living in an 8-foot space.
I mean, it's kind of hard to say, hey, be quiet. Mommy's doing an interview. So you'll hear the kid and stuff, but it's okay.
It was fine. And it was a delightful and, you know, informative discussion. It really was a good talk.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. So let's get to it right now. All right, well, welcome to the show, everybody. We have Chelsea on the show. Chelsea, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. So, Chelsea, I found you on Instagram, I believe, and I've been looking for people to come on the show and stuff, and a lot of times people that are on Instagram doing their profiles and stuff are people who like talking about trucking, so I'm glad you came on.
Boy, I'm really glad you invited me, actually.
Yeah. Is that the kid in the background?
Oh, yeah, that is.
So let's talk about that then. I mean, you can have your kid come with you on the trips and stuff.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. It's a great opportunity.
That is. That's really cool. That's cool. You take your, is it a boy or a girl?
It's a little girl. She's 3 years old.
That's awesome. That's really cool. I'm glad. And you get to spend some time with her on the road. That's neat.
I like that it gives me the opportunity to still continue chasing my dreams and career, and I'm able to raise her without, you know, having to worry about somebody else raising her or daycare fees or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, that's a big challenge for a lot of people, whether you're a driver or not. And, you know, me and my dad, we do this show, and my dad's been driving for much longer than me. And, you know, and I remember growing up and stuff with him being a driver. I don't think I was ever allowed to drive with you in the trucks.
No, everything I did was all day cab stuff. So
yeah. So it's definitely something that, you know, I think about and stuff, because I got a son and a daughter on the way, and I always think it'd be cool to have them in the truck with me, but you know, it's just not something I'm allowed to do with my company.
Right.
Yeah. It wasn't easy trying to find somebody. Eventually I'd like to get my own trucks and, you know, continue pursuing and climbing up the totem pole and whatnot, but luckily I was able to find an owner operator that's running his own authority, and he allows me to take her with me.
Okay, so is it like a smaller company then that you're working for?
Yeah, it's just an owner operator. He only has like 2 trucks.
Gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha. So what kind of areas are you driving in? Are you doing cross country or regional?
It's cross country, but we don't really go up in the Northeast because the tolls and whatnot. But we typically stay out west, which I like. I like the mountains. I did over the road for a year, and then like I said, I took some time off when I was pregnant. Then I did local for 2 years, and it's not the same. I'm from Florida, so we don't really have mountains or snow, so it got really boring.
Right, it does.
Yeah,
it does.
I got friends that live out in like Washington State, and they tell me you don't know what a mountain is until you get out there. We live in Pennsylvania, so we have the Appalachian Mountains, and those are like hills compared to the mountains out west.
That is awesome. Pennsylvania is actually my favorite eastern state.
Oh, is that right?
Oh yeah, definitely. I haven't been up there in like a year, but it's my favorite.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever want to move out of Pennsylvania unless I was going to go to a state that didn't have. What's the taxes, Dad? The income taxes.
I'm caught me by surprise. I'm like, what?
I know. I'm looking at you. I'm like, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Is it really bad, as bad as they say it is in Pennsylvania?
For income taxes?
Yeah, like just like living costs up there.
It depends on where you live.
Exactly. I mean, so I live in the wealthiest county in Pennsylvania, so the taxes here are insane.
And Dad lives in the boonies in Pennsylvania, and the taxes aren't bad. So it just depends on where you live.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the taxes here are insane, property taxes, and, you know, income taxes. I think we probably pay out, what, 30 to 35% of our wages to taxes, Dad?
Yeah, total, including federal, state, local,
It's pretty nuts. That's not bad. Well, I don't like it. I prefer to keep 100% of it.
Welcome to Tony's Utopia.
That'd definitely be the preference.
Yeah, it would be, but it's not reality. So it is, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm not interested in giving a whole lot to tax. You know what I think?
But you know what we should we're gonna sit here and talk about taxes or truck driving.
It's all part of the gig.
I guess.
My last thing on taxes, and we'll move on. I think that we should just do 10%. Everybody should do 10% across the board. What, no matter how rich you are, or how poor you are, just do 10%. Call it a day. I think the government's be fine. I'd be fine with that. Much happier than 30.
I think maybe you should run for president next.
There you Not go. Happening.
I mean, he sounds nice on the phone, Chelsea, but I don't know about the president deal.
Yeah, you don't want me having that power.
No, I'm teasing. It wouldn't be bad.
What's that Kanye West song, something about all that power? It'd go to my head. I would lose it.
Oh, well, so anyway.
So you like driving out west mostly and stuff. And you said, I think before we started the interview, you've been driving for 5 years, or you had your CDL for 5 years, but driving for three, right?
Four.
Four. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Is this the only driving job you've had? And this being a job that allows you to have your daughter? No, you had some local jobs before that, right?
Yes. As far as having my daughter, I've been on quite the journey. I've been driving over the road with her for about a year, and I decided that I did want to try to go to over the road. And I never really seen it before, but I have heard that, you know, people were taking their younger kids with them. So I actually made a couple of Craigslist posts, and somebody had contacted me, and they were like, yeah, I'm an owner operator. I got my company leased on to a mega carrier. You could take your daughter, no problem. But he didn't mention the part that the company would have said otherwise. So I worked for that guy for about 4 months, and I was at a terminal, and I waited like 12 hours to do a swap with somebody. And, you know, 12 hours sitting on the property, me and my kid aren't going to be stuck in the truck the entire time. You know, we got to get out, go to the bathroom, you know, do what normal people do. And when the person had got there to swap trailers, somebody from the company came out, and they were like, oh, you can't have that kid with you. You need to call your fleet manager. And pretty much got terminated on the spot.
Wow.
And then, so I went to work for a temp agency in Florida doing local work for about a month and a half, and went right back to Craigslist making some more posts. And I thought I found a good fit. It was a really old truck. It wasn't a good truck at all. It was out in Oregon. So I was really thankful to at least be out west, but the pay was just absolutely terrible. And the truck had some fuel problems. And one of the times that somebody had come out to work on the truck, it was like an owner operator that had his company leased onto a, he had his truck leased onto a company. Mm-hmm. And he was an owner operator with a company with a truck leased onto a company. The company itself was actually, they were really awesome people. And I was doing runs Oregon to Florida back and forth, and my pay was biweekly and legitimately was between 1500 to as low as 500 every other week.
Wow.
Oh yeah, it was really terrible. Yeah. Like, I think that was the first time in my life I struggled paying my own bills. And with that company, I was actually working the hardest. Like I said, I was just running back and forth between Oregon and Florida every week. But yeah, the one time it had fuel problems and they took the maintenance out of my paycheck. And I didn't really like that.
That's
yeah. And then the truck ended up basically retiring because it had a cracked engine. And the company was like, oh, the guy's not paying on the truck anyways. We're just going to sell it to auction. I was like, all right, cool. And I had a friend that knew somebody, and they were like, oh, I know somebody with a long nose Kenworth, and he might let you take your daughter. And I went out to Utah and did a road test, and luckily here I am.
Oh, that's really cool. You know, it's neat. And what the thing I like that what you're talking about is that you put the effort in because you had something that you wanted to do and you wanted to do it a certain way. And you put the effort in to figure out how to do that. And it shows you that this industry can be flexible enough to work with people, and you can still have a job that pays you a decent salary. You make a living and do the things you need to do. Like, you can still connect with your daughter and have her with you, and she's traveling with you and getting, and you know, mom and daughter time. And that's great. Those are fantastic things. And it just shows you how far that the industry has come, you know, here in 2020 compared to what it was even when I first started 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's definitely, I would say, come a long way. I wish I could have, in certain ways, I wish I was older to experience what life was back then before, like, I mean, not saying that it was around when you started driving, but like, you know, back then when they didn't have any GPS or cell phones, you had to park at a truck stop and, you know, use the little pay phones. I think it'd be pretty cool to have experienced something like that.
Yeah. Tony's just sitting there looking at me like, so what are you going to say there, old man? But no, I do understand what you mean. And that's what I mean, is it's a whole different world now. And I'm glad, you know, it's become I don't know what the word is I'm even looking for, maybe more functional in today's world. So I'm glad that it has come to this point, that we're actually doing it this, you know, things are moving along and it's opening up to more people, in, you know, and making it possible that this job can be done. It doesn't have to be solely by, you know, somebody who's driving by themselves forever, you know, like back in the day. So I'm glad. I'm glad that you're doing it. It's fantastic. And I'm glad that you're here today talking about this stuff, because I think it's something interesting that people need to hear. Hey, you can do this for a living and you can still have a life. And that's what's important.
Definitely. And I'm glad that whenever I first started driving, I had a trainer that had been driving, I think, for like 20 years. So luckily I was able to get some old school, you know, experience and stuff. And I'm just glad I learned that.
Yeah, definitely.
So you mentioned about, you know, how essentially you traveled pretty far for some of these jobs, as far as, you know, being from Florida. Do you have like a home address in Florida still, or are you just kind of like, is like the truck your kind of home kind of thing?
So the truck is basically home. But whenever I do go to Florida, I just hang out with my grandma and my sisters and whatnot. But yeah, what I want to do is I want to stay on the road as much as possible and just save up as much money as I possibly can, because eventually I'd like to buy a truck, maybe a few trucks. And like I said, she's 3 years old, and I mean, it might not happen as fast as I would like it to happen, but you know, it doesn't matter how long it takes. Eventually I'd like to get to the point where I can have my own little company and then retire from the road and buy a house and raise her from a house. Yeah. I want to homeschool her anyways. I would prefer not to do it in a truck, but I'll do what I have to do.
Right. And that's good.
Yeah. And the reason why I asked that is because a few weeks ago we had Bunny on the show, and she's from Minneapolis, but her address is the truck. I mean, she lives in the truck.
Yeah.
And she was talking about how hard it was at times to get food and stuff, because for the truck drivers during the coronavirus, the places weren't open, and some places, especially in the beginning, weren't serving truck drivers walking up to the drive-thru, and it's right. The only thing that was open. Did you have any issues like that being out in the road?
I didn't have like major issues. There was a couple of places where I would go to and they weren't open on the inside. You have to go through drive through. Some places will allow you to walk up there, but you know, I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of embarrassing. Right. So usually I would just stick to what the truck stop had itself.
Which can be limited at times.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, truck stop food is not the, you know, it's not the health stuff, so it's not healthier. But, the thing is, and this is, I keep coming back in my own head. I guess it's just a point that's stuck there. I think it's great that you have an aspiration for yourself to do more than just be a driver. That you want to own a couple of trucks of your own. I think that's fantastic. You know, you want to own some trucks and then for yourself be able to maybe get out of the driving part of it and run the company and focus more on your daughter. And I think that's really cool. I just do. I think that's really cool.
You know, Chelsea, have you ever tried using like one of those apps called DoorDash or something like that to get food to the truck? Because I do that in my truck.
He's just a regular daytime guy.
Yeah, I'm a city driver. I'm home every day. But if they send me somewhere for a drop and hook and I know it's going to be a little bit of a later night, I actually go on DoorDash and I order my food on DoorDash and have it delivered right to my truck. Have you ever tried anything like that?
I love DoorDash. I have a couple of things in the truck. Like I have a fridge and microwave, a crock pot and a griddle. And I try to cook. For a while there, I wasn't cooking a whole lot, but luckily recently I discovered that they have crock pot liners and that thing is a lifesaver.
Yeah.
But I love DoorDash for when it's just one of those lazy days and you're not in the mood for fast food or truck stop food and you're like, but what does suck about being over the road though is sometimes you're in a little small little area and a lot of times they don't even have DoorDash.
Right.
You know, that's something I never thought about because I'm in the Philly area, so we have pretty much anything we want. So but that makes sense if you're out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, try living at my house.
Yeah, you probably don't have DoorDash.
No, we don't have DoorDash. We don't even have delivery pizza. What are you talking about?
I know.
I mean, that's how rural I am. So,
my brother doesn't even know how to use social media half the time. So.
And he produces the show.
Yeah. But that's really interesting because, you know, I wasn't sure if all the truckers do that and stuff, but it's something that nobody told me to do. I just started thinking the one day I was like, I really want this food and I need it delivered to my truck. So I just went on and I found it and it worked out great. Now, as far as your daughter goes, does she really like, does she enjoy the process of being in the truck and driving around and stuff? Or is it something that she just doesn't really know any different because she's been doing it for so long?
So whenever I had first did it, like the very first day, like before that had even happened, I tried asking as many friends and family as I possibly could because I thought it was going to be really terrible for the first week or two. I thought she was just going to be really fussy and things weren't going to work out and I couldn't find anybody to ride with us. And the first night was a little bit rough because we were driving to Orlando and Orlando has really, really, really bad construction. But for the most part, she actually does really well. And I've asked her a couple times if she likes being in the truck. She says, yeah. We don't go to Florida very often because freight isn't very good coming out. But we do tend to stay in Utah quite frequently where sometimes there for a 34-hour reset and we're able to do things once we get there. But I would say she likes being in the truck.
Yeah, that's cool. I bet she, you know, for her, it's almost like an adventure. I mean, that's really cool. And you know, and if you enjoy driving, it is an adventure. And it, you know, if you pass that on to her, she will enjoy it as much as you do. And that's what's cool. I just think that's really cool.
Oh yeah, and I have her toys in the truck, and actually I did have a tablet at one point, but I think one of the trucks swallowed it because I don't know what happened to it. But
it's amazing what they eat, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was like not even the teeniest little thing. Like, where the heck did that go? But I have two phones and I'll let her watch YouTube. And like I said, she has her toys. And we normally have a TV, but I'm not going to lie. I've bought like 3 or 4 TVs within the last year. I got to find a way to mount them because sometimes they tip over and break. And it sucks.
Yeah, I bet it does.
Yeah, that. I mean, those are definitely challenges I'm sure that you come across, but eventually you're going to get the perfect setup and it's going to be awesome. Now, as far as your daughter goes, I think she's probably experiencing things that most people don't experience in their entire life. And she's just in the beginning of hers. Most people don't get to travel around the country like she is right now. As far as driving around with her, and you said she was three, right?
Yes.
Okay. So with her being in the truck with you and stuff, what are some of the safety protocols you got to take and stuff with her being in the trucks? I'm assuming... Can she? Is there a car seat for the seat, or is she in the back where the cab is, or what?
Yeah, I do have a car seat strapped in the passenger seat. I will allow her to get out and come to the back to play with her toys or watch TV. But yeah, I do have a car seat.
I got you. Yeah, because I wasn't sure because I've never seen a car seat in a truck.
Yeah, that it was just a curious question. It's just interesting.
Yeah, that's really interesting. That's really fascinating. Man, I'm trying to think how my son would do with something like that. Because my son is very, you know, all over the place. And I wonder...
To say the least.
Yeah, I wonder if he would actually... I don't think he would be that great driving across the country.
He didn't like driving in a car when he was little. You know, when he was really little, he didn't like driving up to grandma and pop's house.
Yeah, it was like an hour drive. Hour drive, he hated it.
It sounds like she does really well because she sounds like she's a well-adjusted kid. She's, you know... talking and bouncing around in there. That's really cool. It's neat to hear that. Yeah, that's one thing that you just in all the interviews we've done so far, we've never had anybody that had their child with them. So this is like a new experience for us too. This is, you know, this is neat.
Yeah, that is really neat. So what kind of freight are we talking about here? You're talking about the loads that you're picking up and things like that. Is it just general freight or is there a specific industry that you kind of stick to?
I currently do reefer freight. I've been begging my boss to let me try flatbed, but yeah, right now I just do reefer. Refrigerated.
I wouldn't mind trying a flatbed myself.
I did it once.
Did you?
Yeah.
How'd you like it?
I didn't.
You didn't?
No, it's just, you know what? I mean, I guess I'm just a lazy driver. You know? I was, you know, it was, you know, bags of concrete and cement, not concrete. It was cement. And I just didn't really enjoy it, you know, strapping it down, tarping it, blah, 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 blah. It was so much, and the company I was working for wasn't paying a ton. So it was just like extra time to not get paid.
I'm trying to rack my brain as to what company that was.
Bulk Tanker.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can I say the name?
Venezia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know they did flatbed.
Yeah, they did flatbed and bulk, and I did bulk tanker most of the time, and they needed a load moved, and I was like, all right, whatever. I've never done this before, so this will be a learning, and this is years ago.
Yeah.
You know, this is probably 25 years ago. This is a learning experience for you know, me, and but that's just me. There's a lot of guys that I know that enjoy doing flatbed.
So, Chelsea, let me tell you a little story here. I was doing a delivery. Me and my dad, we both drive for the same company, Pitt, Ohio. We do general freight. It's LTE. He drives at night as line haul, and I do...
It's LTL.
That's what I mean when I say.
LTE.
Yeah, I'm thinking...
How long has he been driving truck for, Chelsea?
Not long enough, apparently.
Apparently he doesn't know the lingo yet.
Listen, sometimes I call my son my brother, so I mess everybody's names up. Anyways, so we work for the same company, and I was doing a delivery, and I had a delivery at Venezia, the company my dad used to work for. And I recognize the name. I know he used to work for them. And I go in there, and they started talking to me, and they pretty much offered me a job. And the manager comes out and, you know, wants to sit down and talk to me. And I'm like, I'm working, and right. I don't have time to sit down and talk to you about your pitch to steal me from Pitt, Ohio, you know? and so... She gave me her card and she's like, please email me. We want to hire you, this, that, and the other. I'm like, where'd this come from? Like, I was literally talking to one of your shop guys and all of a sudden I have a manager standing here trying to offer me a job. I'm like, you must be really desperate. And then I'm thinking to myself, there's a reason why my dad stopped working here, you know? And I'm not jumping ship from the company my dad landed at and has been at for almost, I don't know, 500 years to to the company that, you know, he left. So I find that really interesting. I don't know why. We just went off on the
Venezia. Yeah, we did.
We still have Chelsea on the line, right?
We do, right? Chelsea's still there.
Yeah. Yeah,
awesome. Awesome. So it sounds like you like stopping in Utah and stuff. What are you talking about as far as liking Utah though? Is it like Salt Lake City or is it the mountains in Utah? Do you like hiking? What is it?
I don't know. It's a little bit of everything.
I was gonna say, is it all the above? That's cool.
Yeah, I've been to 45 states, and like, I'm not sure if you've ever been to Disney World in Florida, but I crossed over into Utah for the first time 5 years ago, and I was looking at the scenery, and in about like 5 minutes of being in the state, I just about damn near cried, and I was like, this looks like a lot like, I'm so sorry, Splash Mountain in Disney World, and it was always just my favorite, and my boss lives out there, so we get to take a 34-hour allotment, and if he's he drives too, and if he's not in town, then we get to use his pickup truck and go exploring. But unfortunately, we haven't been able to do a whole lot of exploring with the whole coronavirus going on lately.
Yeah, how's your daughter with the whole mask thing? Does she keep a mask on? Because my son won't.
No, I don't make her wear a mask. I had to go get an eye appointment, an eye exam about a week ago because we were visiting a friend in Texas, and she had a Nerf gun. And one, I didn't think she had that good of aim. Two, I wasn't really paying attention. I was looking over at somebody, and she shot me in the eye, like directly in the eyeball with a Nerf gun. So a couple days later, but it was terrible. And I'm like, how did you do that? And I was like, two or three later, I had to go get an eye exam. And they're like, she has to wear a face mask. And I was like, okay. So I had a little tiny one, you know, one of those little tiny medical ones. And I had to basically sort of reshape it and tie it down to where it could fit her little ears and her little face. And she was okay with it. And then as soon as we got there, she took it off. And they were like, oh, she don't have to wear it. I was like, okay, cool.
Thank God. Yeah, how about it? But you know what? My kids are all grown up and I have a hard time getting them to wear a face mask. So
well, that's because he's trying to get us to rob banks with him.
Well, yeah. Don't give all my secrets away.
Yeah, we're the Merkel family is actually a band of bandits.
Yeah, there you go. That's what we are. Yeah. That's why I drive truck for a living.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, Chelsea, have you been out on the road and experienced anything kind of like out of the ordinary, crazy, wild experiences? I mean, you drive a lot. I drive a lot. And I know that a lot of times with drivers, they tend to think, oh, no, I really haven't experienced anything until they start thinking about it. Like, oh, yeah, there was that one time. Do you have any of those experiences?
I have a... So you know how a lot of times people, one, a lot of people assume it happens, and two, a lot of truck drivers have stories about seeing obscene things on the road.
Oh, yeah.
I saw one of those one time. I was driving local, and I didn't think it would actually happen. It was during the day, broad daylight. I was about maybe 10, 15 miles away from the terminal, and there was this little white car pulling up next to me, and they didn't have any tinted windows, and I saw some fast movement in the car. And so I glanced down because, you know, of course, you're going to look. So I glanced down, right. And I saw what I saw, and I quickly glanced away. I'm sitting there thinking, wait, did I really just see what I think I just saw? So, of course, I had to take a second look, and in broad daylight, there was a guy just driving down the road choking the chicken. And I was like, I cannot believe I just saw that.
Yeah, it's amazing the things you see when you're out there. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I had a similar experience driving down the turnpike. A guy was watching some stuff on his phone in the left-hand lane turnpike traffic. I'm just like, bro, you couldn't wait? I mean, you must have had a stressful day at work or something, my man.
Yeah. And then there was another time I was driving local, and I heard a lot of experiences with females, but nothing had ever like seriously happened except for one time. I was driving local and I was making a delivery, and I used to deliver to Sam's Club a lot, and there was a Swift driver there. And we get out, and you know, we're both walking towards the same direction to go get something to eat, and so, you know, we were walking together, and we come back after we're done eating. You know, we're engaging a conversation. He was trying his damnest to lure me to the truck, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to your truck. And I have bow tattoos on the back of my arms that I got when I was 18 years old. Uh-huh. They're right above the elbow, and he kept, like, grabbing my arms and saying, oh, is this a present for me to open? Like, no. Wow. And I actually got kind of like scared because, you know, I wasn't sure what this guy was going to do. And I think I had to wait like an hour or two before Sam's Club, you know, opened their distribution area. So I had to call them, and I was like, there's a creepy Swift driver out here. You think I can come inside and wait? And they let me go inside and they locked the door. Then I ended up being stuck there for like 5 hours.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That's crazy. And, you know, it's something that I think about too and stuff, because I know history, throughout history, truck driving has been predominantly a man's industry.
Right.
And over the last, I'd say, 10, 15 years, you really see a lot more ladies driving the trucks and stuff. And I often wonder how the transition is going in the industry when it comes to that kind of stuff. Because I imagine if you have a guy who's been over the road for 30, 40 years, and they're coming into these stops, and there's a lot more women there, I imagine they probably don't react the best. And I was going to ask you, you know, if you had any experiences like that, or if you even just overall working in the industry as a lady, as a younger lady too, if you had any, you know, issues with that as far as being a lady versus, you know, being a dude, you know?
Yes, but like that was the only major experience. My first year over the road, I would have sometimes people would flash their lights at me thinking I was a lot like or something. I was like, no, I'm one of you.
Exactly. You know, and that's one of the things that you know, I mean, Tony and I both have wives. I have a wife and a daughter. You know, I don't want to see my wife mistreated in any way. And so I try and treat the other women on the road and the other women that drive and the other, you know, you just try and you want to treat them with respect, like treat them like they're your wife or your daughter, you know, like not, you know what I mean? You know, treat them as though they're, you know, unequal to you. Like, you know, treat them with respect. You know, and when I say treat them like my wife or my daughter, I mean, have the same respect for them that I would have for my wife or my daughter. I would not treat my wife or my daughter that way. Why would I treat somebody who's a fellow driver? They're a fellow driver, genderless. You know what I mean? This is not a boy girl thing. It's not a guy girl thing. This is just I'm a driver, you're a driver. And I'm going to talk to you like you're a driver, and I expect you to talk to me like I'm a driver. And that's, you know, and I don't like when, you know, like the lady we had on last week when she was talking about, you know, being kind of molested when she drives bus in Minneapolis, and she was somewhat molested. And it's like, that's just inappropriate. It's like, why? You know, why does it have to be that way? Why can't we just treat each other like human beings and be done with that, you know? And
definitely.
I appreciate that you handled the way you did. You did the right thing. You got yourself into a safe place, even if you were having to be at Sam's Club at the distribution center for an extra, you know, for 5 hours or whatever. At least you got yourself into a safe place. That's the important thing. But you know, because I can imagine it's got to be tough at times dealing with some of the, like Tony said, some of the guys have been out there for a long time, and they kind of get crusty, and you know,
crusty's a great way to say it.
It is. So, you know, you have to try and be open-minded and accepting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what gender you are, you know, you're a driver. And I think there should be a respect that goes across the board for everybody. And you know, I try and treat people with respect until they show me that they're not worthy of it. You know, that's just my approach to it, is I'm going to treat you with respect until you show me otherwise. And you wish more people would do that.
Do you get road rage, Chelsea?
Before I started driving trucks, I never had road rage. I started driving trucks, I had very ferocious road rage. But luckily, it's definitely calmed down in the last year since I had the little one. I try my best to watch my language around her, but, you know, sometimes you just can't help it.
Oh, I know what you mean. Out. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's times I'm glad I drive alone, so.
And she actually... she's learned a few words. I don't like to say that, but she does. And she even knows how to use it. And I'm like, girl, you can't say that. And she's even got to the point where if I say a bad word, she'll say, don't say that. Like, all right. Thank you for correcting.
She throws out a word and you look at her and say, that's great context.
Definitely. I sit there and think about it. Like, you use that in the good way, but that's not a good word.
That was very creative. Yeah, I don't get road rage for myself, and that's strictly, I think, because I get paid by the hour. So, you know, not getting paid miles, but by the hour. You know, if I'm in traffic, I'm making money. Now, for you and even like my dad who gets paid by the mile, like, it's a little different. If you're sitting in traffic, if people are slowing you down and stuff, you kind of get a little irritated and stuff. And, you know, that's a question I should start asking people more often. I think she's the first one I actually asked that question to. But it's something that I think about a lot and stuff, as to, you know, who gets road rage and who doesn't, and for what reasons and stuff. Now, your road rage, is it because, you know, people are doing stupid stuff in front of you and slowing you down? Or is it because they're doing stupid stuff in front of you and, you know, possibly causing an accident?
Is typically when people are just doing stupid stuff, which happens a lot. And, you know, when I first started driving over the road, I the conversation of where are the worst drivers from always popped up, you know, and I would sit there and listen to other people's conversations. I don't really like to engage a lot, and usually sometimes people don't really care to engage with me either, but whatever. And I would hear a lot of people say Florida, and I'm like I said, I'm from Florida. I remember thinking, oh, Florida's not that bad. And then I stopped doing over the road, and I went home to Florida, did local, and I was driving in the car. And I started paying attention, and I'm like, holy cow, these people really are bad. So, yeah, Florida definitely brings out the road rage.
Well, you know, one of the things that, you know where I have found the worst road rage at is on the road. It doesn't matter what state you're in. There are people that they're just going to get you. You got people who are going to pass you on the right-hand side on the right shoulder. I've had people do that. I've had people cut me off. I've had people come up next to me and they get behind you and then they're getting off on the ramp and they're pissed because they got behind you and you were climbing slowly up the hill because you're in the right-hand lane and they wanted to get off at that exit. So they get off the exit, and as they go past you on the exit, they're giving you the finger. It's like, there's nothing I can do about that. It is just the way it is. So I have found that every state has its people who are less than desirable or create that situation rather than planning for themselves what they need to do. And that's one thing that I think I've found the most is that people fail to plan their next move. So they're prepared to get off when they need to get off on whatever ramp or make a lane change when they need to make a lane change. They just fail to prepare for that. And that creates a road rage situation for everybody. And it's a dangerous situation. But, all that being said, when we talk about, you traveled like 45 of the 48 contiguous states, and I think that's really cool. Have you ever done anything up in Canada or anything like that? Has any of your loads ever taken you there yet?
No, not yet. I don't have a passport right now. I've recently asked my boss. I was like, hey, if my daughter and I get a passport, you think we could go up there? I would love to. My dream ever since I was younger was to just travel the world, and that's one of the reasons why I became a truck driver, because I thought it was just a great way to get paid to travel.
Oh yeah,
it is. That's for sure.
Yeah, if you want to travel and stuff, trucking is definitely a great way to go. The only other thing I think I could think of outside of that would be being a pilot,
right?
But yeah, trucking is great because you really truly get to see everything. It's not even like pilots. I mean, you start in Philly, you see Philly, and then you end in San Francisco and you see San Francisco. But truckers, you get to see everything in the middle too.
Yep.
And that's really cool. Chelsea, before we get out of here, I know you're on Instagram and you have quite the following there. Would you give yourself a shout out as far as where people can find you on social media?
On Instagram, it's truck_driving_gal, G-A-L.
Sounds good. We're going to definitely give you a shout out on the intro as well and get you some followers going.
Before I get off, I wanted to mention, before I started driving, I had only been to Texas and Washington, D.C., and I randomly, when I was growing up, I wanted to be a mechanic. And one day I was like, I want to be a diesel mechanic. Go big or go home.
Right.
And I think I was like 18 years old. And I was like, well, why fix them when I can drive them? And I actually called the driving school and they're like, no, you got to be 21. So when the time came to where I was 21 years old and, I was really excited, telling everybody about pursuing my dreams and whatnot. I even had one person say, oh, my uncle's a truck driver, and all he says that you're just going to get fat and you're going to get stinky and all you're going to see is white and yellow lines. And I thought that, and I had a lot of people try their hardest to talk me out of it. My first year driving over the road, I saw 45 states. I was able to see mountains and snow, and, I saw geese. I never saw geese before I left Florida, and wild horses, bald eagles. I just saw so much, and so I was really irritated, and I like to take videos sometimes of the scenery when I drive, and one of these days I want to take a video and say I definitely see a lot more. I mean, if you want to see white and yellow lines, sure, but, that's just because you probably don't look up.
That's a really good point. I was thinking that very thing. It depends on what your approach is to it. You can see the things that you're seeing, or you can see the white and yellow lines. It depends on your perspective. And I think that's a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up and said that.
Oh, and I love mountains, and I love snow so much.
Yeah.
I never saw snow until I was 21 years old. And
wow.
I like to see snow.
The first time I saw snow, I was teamed up with an ex, and I was driving through New Mexico, and almost crossing over to the border of Arizona, and he was asleep in the back, and I saw some like dirty snow on the side of the road, and I'm sitting there thinking, is that snow or is that sand? Because like I said, it was dirty, and I never saw snow, so I wasn't sure. And I almost, thankfully I didn't, but I almost got on CB to ask, but everybody probably would have thought I was a dummy. But I crossed over to Arizona, and I pulled over at the Welcome Center, and I got out, and you know, I took my little gloves off, and I felt the snow, and you know, I even tasted it like they did in the movies and made a little snowman. It was so exciting.
That's neat. You know, it's really, because it's, you know, fun. I never thought about that. I never thought about people who don't ever see snow. You know, who've never experienced. I mean, you know what it is, and I don't, when I say you didn't, you've never seen it, but you've never experienced it. So that, you know, that's neat, and that is one of the, that's one of the things that you get to see as a truck driver. I drive at night, and a thing that you know, brings my heart joy, if I can say it that way, and not sound too you know, feminine. Hopefully, it doesn't. I'm not trying to. It's just I enjoy watching the sun come up. That is a thing that I love. I love to watch the sun rise. So I work at night. And I see the sunrise every day, and I'm amazed at it every day, and I love the colors and the beauty of it. So I think when you're a driver, you learn to look for the things, at least hopefully you do, you learn to look for the things that spark your interest, spark the thing that makes you, that, you know, gives you something to keep going and move on for the next day. And that's my thing. I love to watch the sun come up.
Yeah, I do too. And I think it's pretty cool those days you get to watch the sunset and the sun come up in one shift. It's awesome.
Yes, yes it is.
So, Chelsea, speaking of the idea that you had never seen snow before, when was the first time you drove in snow, and how'd that go?
The first time I was driving in snow, so when I had my trainer, it was right around fall, so we didn't really get to see snow, and I was considering taking a mentorship program that way, you know, because I had never saw snow before. Huh? Yeah. Awesome, thank you. And the company I was driving for did have the opportunity to do a mentorship program, and I almost took it, but luckily I had met somebody, you know, and things kicked off pretty quickly, so we teamed up, and he was from Washington State. And I don't really remember the first time driving in snow. I just remember he was with me. I was definitely a little bit nervous, and I'm kind of glad that I wasn't able to drive in the snow, because I feel it makes me more cautious. But I love to drive in the snow. I really do. I like to see it glitter. It was quite crazy. I think it was about a month ago. I drove through Wyoming and there was snow. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I can't share those sentiments.
Maybe it's just from driving in Philly in the snow.
Yeah, maybe. I all right. So when I go out in the snow, I just plan on getting stuck somewhere, because it's not like I'm on the highways the whole time. I'm doing a lot of like, you know, deliveries and going down different roads and trying to figure out if I can get down there in the snow. And so when I go out for deliveries and it's a snowy day, I'm just like, something's going to happen. I remember the one time just recently, I think it was not this past winter, but the winter before, because this past winter we didn't get any snowstorms. Yeah. But the winter before, I head up towards like Northeast Philly, and I'm in bad traffic because everybody's moving slow, and I'm going down a slight hill, and I know I got to go up this hill I'm looking at, and I'm not even moving because traffic's like stopped. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not going to make this, but I got to try. And certainly got about halfway up the hill, and the tires just start spinning. And they're spinning and spinning. And so I just laid off the gas, let the torque just kind of spin the tires on themselves. And, you know, I was probably there for about 20 minutes until I got enough friction between my tires and the actual cement without snow in between to get me pulling again. But it was interesting because, you know, you're building up traffic behind you. My trailer actually started swinging into the other lane. And I was just like, oh, There's nothing I could do about it. So you guys are just going to have to wait with me. So, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, there's nothing you can do. So, you know, you just try to keep it moving. And if you get stuck, you get stuck and you figure it out as you go. I guess there is a sense of adventure, though, when it comes to driving in the snow, in the sense that it's like, you know, once you get through it, and it's a pain in the butt in the moment, but once you get through it, you're going to have a story to tell at least. And that's always fun.
Oh, yeah. I love driving in the snow and the mountains. I'm not so sure about the same time. Like, I think my biggest fear would be going either up or going down and then losing traction. Like, I don't think I want to experience something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think my biggest fear is lose traction. Then you start going backwards.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Yeah, and that's something I was a little worried about in that moment because, I mean, in the Philly area, like I said, I had traffic behind me. It wasn't like it was just me by myself or people were going around me. It was a two-lane road going in one direction, and everybody was there, and they were just waiting with me. And I was a little worried about that, but I remember there was a couple of times I actually had to stop the tires from spinning, and the trailer didn't slide or anything, so I was feeling okay at that point. I was like, okay, if we're not sliding back, then we're just going to keep the wheels spinning until nature does its job and gets the friction going and gets me moving. So, you know, I've got plenty of snow stories. One thing I've learned though is, you know, when I first started driving truck, I was like that guy that was like, I didn't want to be that guy that I get back at the end of the day and everybody's like, you couldn't do that. You couldn't do that delivery. So I like put myself in some positions where I probably shouldn't have been. And most of the drivers would have been like, no, I'm not doing that delivery because it's snowing. I would do it because I didn't want to be that guy that didn't do it, you know? So it put me in a situation where I had a lot of stories to share afterwards. but not anymore. Nowadays, if there's like a sticky situation, I just pass it by. I'm like, ah, tomorrow's another day. So, but it's a little different for you. I'm LTL, so I got like 20 deliveries a day. So if I don't get it off today, I'll get it off tomorrow.
Oh my gosh.
Or somebody else will.
Or yeah, somebody else will. But Chelsea, thanks so much for coming on the show and talking with us and just kind of hanging out. And once again, your Instagram is truckdrivinggal, right? Truck_driving_gal, G-A-L, right?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Well, thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks for the invitation. I definitely had a good time.
Well, Chelsea, I enjoyed it. We both really had a good time. We enjoyed talking with you. And, you know, I just, as a word of encouragement, just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a really good job.
Yeah.
It's really cool what you're doing. And you're gonna make your dreams happen. It's going to happen for you because you've got what it takes to do what you want to do. So keep going.
Yeah, you know, and I know what I just said, we're wrapping this up, but that's a great point. And I do want to say that to you as well, Chelsea, because you know where you want to go with this, and you certainly do have the drive, because I don't think there's a whole lot of people out there that would have the energy and the drive to bring their kid on the road with them and be full-time mom while you're being a full-time driver, all in the same space. Like, I don't know if people can totally appreciate, especially that aren't drivers, can totally appreciate the difficulty that you're putting yourself in by taking those two worlds and making them one. And then you're talking about doing homeschooling as well. Kudos to you. Cause I mean, seriously, that's some serious work you're putting in.
Thank you. I greatly appreciate that.
Yep. You keep going. And you will achieve what you want.
Yeah.
You put the time in to find a job where you could take your daughter with you. And that all by itself deserves kudos. You know, it took you some time, and you had the wherewithal to put the time in, and you knew what you wanted to do. And you keep doing what you're doing, and you're going to make what you want. You're going to do what you want to do. And that's a good thing. So just keep going. And thank you so much for coming on. It was a real pleasure talking with you. It really was a joy.
Thank you as well.
Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, Dad, what can they do?
They can share the show. Share it with friends and family members. Share it on any of the social media platforms. And do us a favor and check out the gear section on HammerLaneLegends.com and take a look and see what we have. Maybe you want to buy something. Maybe you want to take a look. I'll give you an opportunity to start a conversation with someone around the gear, whether it's a sticker or a shirt, t-shirt or a hoodie or whatever. Just, you know, take a look and see what's there.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, we got t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, stickers, a lot of good stuff.
We do.
And also prepare with HLL.com. That's prepare with HLL.com. That is a partnership we have with My Patriot Supply, where you can get emergency preparedness food. And as drivers, if you're working out on the road, if you're away from the house long periods of times and you're out there doing your thing, it's always good to have that emergency preparedness food in the truck, in the cab, in your van, whatever you're doing out there, or just in general at the house. I mean, a lot of people are starting to really get into preparing for, you know, the next thing down the pike and making sure they have food for them and their family. We already saw the supply chain get cut off. We already saw it hurt our industry. We see a lot of shortages because things aren't getting shipped from China and all that stuff. It's good to be prepared. So prepare with HLL.com. Get your emergency preparedness food. And if you get the 4-week supply option, the 1-month supply option, we'll knock $100 off for you on that order. So check it out. Prepare with HLL.com. And until next week, friends, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
Hello?
Hi, Nick Pizza here. I just want to know why I should drop off these pizzas. I'm not sure. I can't quite find your house. Was it a road or was it a street? What exactly was it?
You have the wrong number.
Look, you ordered about 20 pizzas and 3 Cokes as well as 2 Sprites, so I'm just here to drop them off.
You have the wrong number. Whatever
party
station
you have it, do I just need your house address? So I can deliver these and get back to work.
Okay, I'm sorry, but
I don't care. You ordered these pizzas, you gotta pay for them.
I get it, but I didn't, so I'm sorry.
Man, that's just stupid. Why did you say that? No, you have to pay for them. You ordered them, that's how it works.
Who is this? Is this a joke?
Okay, look, I see your house right now. I'm gonna pull up and we're gonna get this all settled.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, bye.
Nope, you have to pay.
When I pull out a buzzer, they all wish me luck. It's like they always did before. With a bulletproof screen on the hood of my truck and a Bradley on my back. Prayer to my Lord. Said, God, get me back home to Houston alive, and I won't drive a truck anymore. It's early in the morning, I'm rolling fast. I'm on 9,000 gallons of hot test gas. Sergeant on the radio hollering at me, said, look out over here, to come a RPG. If I ever get home to Houston alive, I won't drive a truck anymore. Well, I've driven big rigs for all of my life. Water in my veins. When I come over here, 'cause I just didn't care. Now I'm older and wiser by far. Yeah, if I ever get home to Houston alive, I won't drive a truck anymore. Me and Rick got the money, what's wrong with me? I know the money's good, but can't you see? Taking with it.